you love takeaway, travel, and international cuisines, then you're going to love the Takeaway Man podcast. Join Kevin Kerwin, the Takeaway Man, as he searches for the best international food delivery services accompanied by popular musicians, comedians, and artists. But here's the catch. Each guest gets to pick their a food delivery service, order their unique menu items for up to $20, and give a thorough review on it so you can get the best value for your money next time you order takeaway. You can also enjoy the entire experience on Instagram by following at The Takeaway Man. Sit back and turn up the volume because Kevin is here.
Hello and welcome to The Takeaway Man podcast. This is just a quick little message just to say that the guys from today we are making, Stu and Ella, they actually put forth their money that we usually give towards the podcast to go to a local charity of my choice. So the charity that I've picked is the Simon Community. It's one of the best charities that's going in Ireland. They work really, really hard with all of the Irish community. So with the €20 that goes towards the meal, I've actually put towards €20 myself as well. So it's a €40 donation to the Simon Community. Cheers, guys, and get ready for the next episode of the podcast with Today We Are Making. Hello, and welcome to the Takeaway Man podcast. On this episode of the podcast, we have Ella and Stu. These guys are Irish TikTok sensations and do duo cooking demonstrations with Today We Are Making. They've made some signature egg sambos, Big Macs, chicken wings. And in the middle of creating all of this amazing content, Stu went and bought a giant American school bus to convert into a food truck. Well, that's pretty much it. So, thank you so much, guys, for joining the podcast today. And really happy that you're here. And so how's things? How's everything?
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for having us on. This is really exciting for us. We've been talking about it all day.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Cool. That's great stuff. So, so I just have a couple of quick questions for Ella there. So what do you think of your new fame with TikTok?
It was really weird at first when we started getting all the likes and views. But now I really like it because, like, we have the food bus and we have the social media and... Yeah, I just think it's really fun to be a part of something like this.
Amazing. And what do your friends think about the whole sort of situation? Because for me, when I was growing up in school, no one would have ever pulled in like a Simpsons, like, school bus. That was a thing of dreams. So now to know that your dad owns a Simpsons school bus, it is pretty cool.
Yeah, my friends think it's kind of crazy that, like, this is happening. But they think, like, they always watch the TikToks and the Instagram stories and everything. They just think it's really good and they're happy for me.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that's good. And so what food does your dad love but you hate?
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms, yeah.
What's wrong with mushrooms? What have mushrooms ever done to you?
I don't know whether it's the taste or the texture. I've never figured out why I don't like them. I just don't like them. I only like them fried in butter.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the same thing with Brussels sprouts. Everyone said, "Oh no, I don't like Brussels sprouts."
Actually, no, Ella goes the other way on Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts is my favorite part about Christmas dinner. Boiled Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, just boiled, no butter, nothing. Just boiled sprouts, best part of Christmas dinner for us.
It's a very, like,
is what it is.
75-year-old Irish man with a pint of Guinness in front of him. That's the way they eat their sprouts. Yeah. But that's the thing, is that, like, especially like when you're enthusiastic about cooking and things like that, is that you go, oh, I don't really like sprouts or I don't really like mushrooms, but if you stick a load of garlic in or a load of butter in or learn a new way to cook it, it's not too bad. So
I suppose
that's good. I love trying new foods that I haven't tried before. Like if, say, my dad would cook something or I'd see something in a restaurant. I remember when we went to Paris, there was a snail souffle and I didn't want to get it because I didn't like the sound of it, but I ordered it and tried it and I absolutely loved it.
Wow. I was the exact same. I was in Poland with my girlfriend at the time and she went and she got a big plate of snails and she was like, just try it. And still to this day, it's my biggest regret because she inhaled like 30 snails.
Did you not try one? No, you didn't have one.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
I had Bellas. Just to go back to what you said, I don't know what they taste like on their own, but this was in France. So these things were coming out swimming in garlic and butter.
Yeah.
And that was nice. But I mean, it could have been, like you said, it could have been a Brussels sprout. It could have been anything with nice coming out of this. But they were lovely. And Ella devoured, I think. And that's, this is, I think Ella's only seven, like 7 year old ordering a snail souffle and restaurants, a bit mad, but just Ella's just mad for food, always has been, you know. Just
I got steak and onions for my main course.
Steak and onions for the main.
I think when I was your age, I got like chicken nuggets and
I used to say that to a regular. I was like, God, I think snail souffle, get a couple of chicken nuggets or whatever on the side of a plate and a cap would be the tops, the absolute heights, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So the next question, would you like to be on MasterChef Junior?
Oh my God, I would love to be on MasterChef Junior. It's every time we watch any type of cooking show, I'm always like, oh, I'd love to be on that, whether it's like the Great British Bake Off or any type of MasterChef. I'd just be like, oh, I'd love to be on that. It'd be really fun.
I was the same. I love watching them shows. And then there was one episode where somebody robbed someone else's custard and it was World War III, you know, and things like that, and the drama and stuff like that goes in.
But we would watch a lot of those cooking shows here in the house. We watch the MasterChef Australia, is popular in this house. We watch it every year, every season.
Yeah, so. I think we started watching that when I was four. Mm. We started on season six, and we haven't missed a season.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's a pretty good stuff. And has there been anything that you've seen on these shows that you've gone, I could do a better version of that? Or hold on a minute, my one's better. Like, knowing that you have a signature egg dish, would there be something where you'd go, if I actually could, you know, throw my name in the pot, do you reckon you'd be in to win? Or would you be just like to do it for the experience?
I'd honestly like to do it for both. Like, I'd love to be in it. If I got a chance to be in it, I'd be happy. And if I won, I'd be absolutely delighted. But like, if I was to be in it and to be in, even to get to like four rounds in, I'd be surprised if I was still
like
in it.
Like, it was respectable. Like, it was just, you did well and cooked up. Yeah.
I wouldn't be like crying like they do.
Some of them be crying.
Yeah.
I'd be the same. I'd be exactly the same. Just, you don't want to go home round one. You get through round one of whatever it is, and then you're like, okay, well, I'm not the first out. And then it's the case. If there's seven or eight better cooks or bakers there, well then, you know, they're better. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And do you reckon if your dad was to go on these shows, would you be his biggest critic? Would he be ringing you up for tips, or what do you think?
Good stuff.
And cool. So this is the kind of the last question that I have wrote down here is, what would be the best outcome for you with social media?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't know.
That's a great question. I think about that myself.
I think the biggest outcome was that when we were six, we always thought about opening a food truck. But we were going to do that when I was like 16. But we started 5 years early. Like, we weren't expecting to have a bus or a truck that we could start doing it when I was 11. So I think definitely getting the food bus was the biggest outcome from doing the social media.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. No, that is amazing. And to be honest, out of all, like, I've been kind of following a couple of the guys I've worked with, say Marcus from the Sambo Ambo. I do a lot of live shows and stuff with him, with the bingo shows and things like that. So he does Bingo Loco. And like, one thing that I've noticed is that out of all of these kind of trucks, I think you guys are the only people that actually have a truck. Everyone else, the ambulances, they have kind of trailers, all this kind of stuff, horse boxes that are converted, or people buying their own sort of signature style kind of things. Like, you have a huge giant bus. Amazing. What way does that work then in regards to licenses and stuff like that? You're going to be driving on the opposite side, I take it, and things like that.
Yeah. It's a bit crazy at the minute, to be honest, Kev, because we don't have So I'm sort of at the moment learning how to be three different things. So I'm not a chef and I'm learning how to do that. And I'm not a truck driver and I'm learning how to do that. And I'm not like a food producer. So I don't know. I'm HACCP, all the stuff like that. So to be honest, it's going to sound a bit silly, but it's not something we've really looked at. We've just taken this whole project job by job, build by build. And I know that the certificates and the licenses and all that kind of stuff are going to be needed, but we haven't gone off and done that yet, considering the build isn't finished. And there is bits of that starting to creep in now in terms of what we're doing. But I'll be honest, it's such a big project. It's a bit overwhelming. If I was to stop and think about the whole project, you might just whack the bus up on Dundee or something. Walk away. So just job by job, the electrician will ring me and there's something, that job gets done. The fitter needs something, I go get it. That job gets done. Like, it's literally as step by step as that. I think, you know, like the how do you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time. That's definitely how we're taking this whole project, you know.
Yeah, like, and to be honest, that's kind of the same thing with me. In regards to the podcast and stuff like that I've been doing, is that I went, I'm going to do a podcast, happy days. And I went out and you see people and they're doing it with their phone and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty good quality or whatever. And then at the end of it, you see these credits and it's like producer, sound engineer, graphic designer. And you're like, I thought it was just your man, you know?
Yeah, there's a team.
And that's the exact same thing that happened with me. So I went in, started to do these this podcast and it went from... So I'd send it off to people and they'd go, oh, no, like I sent it off to a lot of producers and they were like, constructive criticism, oh, you need to do this, 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 and this in order for it to be up at this level, you know? And it's definitely like a one thing at a time, like one step at a time.
That's it. Well, just to mention something that, because you brought it up there, which is similar to, and we were talking about Marcus as well, like you would think today with the Sambo Wambo, and we're going to be doing sandwiches as well off the bus, that there'd be like this kind of great rivalry or whatever. But like Marcus has been incredibly sound. We've been chatting on Instagram, but there's another great guy, Ashley, who owns Wingman Van. They're just up at Kilbarrick up the road from us. And Ashley is always at the other end of the phone to take a call. And you would think they'd be really closely guarded with their information, but it's not like that at all. Any question I've asked, they've answered. It's a really good community. It seems like I'm going into a... we had this on Instagram the other day where or TikTok, someone asked the question going, oh, are you and Sambo Wambo going to be rivals? And I was like, it certainly doesn't look like it, because, you know, Marcus wouldn't be getting back to me on Instagram or answering this question or that, you know. Yeah. So just to say that, you're right. You have to go and talk to, you need a mentor, need someone to give you a guiding hand when you're only starting off with something. And there's been just no shortage of lads out there to help us out with any questions we've had.
Yeah, no, it was kind of the biggest eye opener for me in regards to seeing these little food trucks kind of opening up and being really kind of eclectic and only serving like tacos or only serving sambos or only doing this. The reason behind that is that if you actually go and do street food or go to Thailand or like Bali, all that kind of stuff, when you see the little stalls on street food in these places, they literally only cook one thing, but they're the best at doing it, you know, and they're unique in their style. And it's definitely something that I've noticed with you guys is that when you guys are cooking in it, like you just have a passion, like it's a passion is your ingredient, you know, and it's the same thing. Like I've noticed, like even when my mom, she'd like make me a sandwich or whatever, and she could just hand you all the ingredients and do all that stuff. But unless you have that click and that want to actually do it, it's going to taste completely like different, you know. It's
I'm delighted to hear you say that, because I just love cooking and like to do it with Ella, and so us to enjoy it and have that shared hobby is amazing. But now Ella's seen me here mess something up and in a strop whack it into the sink or in the bin and I wouldn't serve it. And I suppose, you know, that looks a bit silly, like nearly 40 years of age and I'm throwing tantrums, but it's that passion, just want it to be right. You just want to nail it and serve it up perfect every single time, but you don't get it right every time, you know yourself. No. You don't make a mess.
And I think, to be honest, that's one of the biggest struggles with me when it comes to cooking, is that I'm like, at least I can blame someone else, because you know, I know it was your man. It was the chef, or it was the chipper, the Chinese. And it's, they're making that horrible. And when it's you, then it's responsibility. You have to wear. But not only that, like, it's that sometimes if you want to go out and you're buying high-end ingredients and doing all this kind of stuff, costs you a fortune, and you're sitting there.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever cooked with Wagyu? I've never cooked with Wagyu for that exact reason. It's like the, you know, it's like Japanese beef. It's like got loads of marbly fat in it and stuff. It's very, very expensive. It's meant to be delicious. But I'd just be terrified of cooking a steak of it here for that reason. Imagine going over on one of them or something. Like, you'd be sick.
Yeah, I know. It's just absolute nightmare. Nightmare. So that's pretty much kind of the one side of the thing. So we kind of went on a bit of a tangent there about that. So just in regards to the way the Takeaway Man podcast works is I order in a takeaway, you order in a takeaway. And I know you got in touch with me, kind of going, hold on a minute here. This doesn't seem to be like what we had on paper. But the issue with that is that I'm actually reaching out to chefs now. And it's the people like yourself, a mate of mine, Jeremy. I can never pronounce his taco truck, but I said it to him first as well. I was like, here, if I just give you the money and then you can just make your tacos or your things or whatever, and then we can promote that on the podcast. So I thought that might be kind of a cool idea. And that's pretty much what I kind of wanted to open out to you guys. And there's actually two congratulations about that, is because you, Ella, you're actually the first lady on this podcast. That's an award that you have now for the rest of your life. You're the first lady that's on the Takeaway Man podcast. So when this goes and over to America and we have millions and millions of viewers, you can say that you were the first lady on this podcast. So
awesome.
Happy days.
And so, I'd say probably the first 11-year-old to own a yellow school bus too, maybe.
Yeah.
Hands down. Absolutely true. Absolutely.
Definitely
true.
In the contender. Definitely in the top three.
So just in regards to the food and stuff that you prepared today, is this something that you're going to be planning to sell on the bus?
Yeah, 100%. It's you know, there's loads of fancy, like you said, there's taco things, and there's taco trucks, and there's all kinds of stuff. But what we prepared this evening is classic ham and cheese. With the ingredients that we are going to be selling on the bus. I'm not a chef, but watched enough, and it's all about the ingredients, and we are making the ham and it and glazing it all ourselves. It's our own glaze. It's quite a spicy, sweet chili glazed ham that we're doing. It's all done by ourselves. It takes ages, but we just want to you know, put something in that is just a bit different, really. That's all we're trying to do, because, you know, it's a sandwich, and the way we think with the ham and cheese is, you know, Paddy and Mary out there of good old Ireland, just like a ham and cheese, you know. I don't know anyone people might pick a hot sauce chicken sandwich over it, but, you know, not anyone would be happy if they were just handed a freshly toasted ham and cheese. It usually hits the spot, you know.
Yeah. The good thing, or my favorite thing about these sandwiches, is that they're classic sandwiches, but you wouldn't go to the effort of making them, like toasting them, making the ham yourself and everything, especially with the brisket or the chicken. You wouldn't go to the effort of cooking all of that at home, which is why, like, we'd like to do that so that people can have these sandwiches.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, like, that's the thing. What you guys are going to be selling, they're going to be high-end gourmet sandwiches. It's not going to be a slice of Denny and an easy single slapped into a George Foreman toaster, you know. It's going to be completely different.
100% agree. Yeah, it's going to be as top-end as we can get, you know. I was quite influenced by, there's a podcast called How I Built This, or How We Built This, or something. Mm-hmm. Have like fairly high-end American business owners. Anyway, the guy who started Five Guys, I can't remember his name now, was on, and there was a particular bit in the middle where they were talking about food costs, and the guy who started Five Guys was like, we don't really care too much about food costs, you know. If we want to put out the beef patty in our burgers that we want, and we want to put the cheese that we want, and if our beef guy comes and goes, hey, it's 30 cents per kilo more Five Guys go, right, well, we put the price of the burgers up. They just don't, they don't care so much. When I heard that, I was like, that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's not going to compromise on what he puts in the burger. He knows people will pay if it's good. And then for that little thing, now I heard that years ago, but that little seed never left me. And so we don't even have, say, set prices yet, because we're still tweaking some of the sandwiches, what the sandwiches will be. But I'm not concerned, because if the ingredients, like Ella said, are, if the chicken's going to be made by us, and if the ham is going to take 6 hours and sliced up carefully and, you know, perfect for the, and the beer, it's a beer braised brisket we're doing with beer braised onions is going into the other sandwich. I mean, these are really kind of high end ingredients. And look, if they end up being expensive, they might be expensive, but they might still be excellent value, if you know what I mean. They don't, that's what we're trying. That's the line we're trying to walk anyway.
Like, amazing. We make takes 4 hours, doesn't it?
Four hours simmering and then another hour glazing.
Oh yeah. So the ham we make takes 5 hours, and it's absolutely delicious, especially if you make it on the sandwich the next day when you let it sit in tin foil with the,
there's nothing better,
like the honey and the chili and everything.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, there's nothing better when you take a roast ham. Like, even at Christmas time, you have turkey and ham or whatever. And it's, come on, to be honest,
that's the best.
It's the second day. It's the second day. Like, it it tastes absolutely amazing.
That Christmas sandwich is everything. You know yourself. You're not hungry, but you're offered it, and you're like, I should want it. Then you eat it. It's like, oh, that was amazing.
Every year,
it delivers. You know.
Yeah, and I always find it so funny that you see chefs and they always try to break it down and, oh no, we can make a curry out of it, we can do this. Just 2 slices of bread. Boom, happy days, you know.
100%, we're on the same page there, yeah. We've been whacking dinner leftovers into sandwiches for I don't know how long, and it's the finest thing on earth.
Amazing. So I don't know, do you actually have your sandwich there? Like, that's one thing about this podcast and something that I keep on forgetting. So I actually have... There's my George Moats thing. So by all means, fire away, tuck in. Have, like, you can eat during the podcast. I probably should have said that to you at the very beginning. I'm very sorry. To be honest, I was afraid. So I've never actually, I'll kind of ramble on a bit there while you're having a bit of food. So with the George Moats style podcast, or smash burgers, or smash style. So for me, I actually talked to him about it. When it came to, like, the Irish mentality of cooking food or whatever, especially cooking burgers, for me anyway, in my household for growing up, was that you always had to make sure that it was cooked all the way through and that you're not allowed to have a line of pink in it. All the juices are running clear, all that kind of stuff. And then I'm sitting down on YouTube.
You were telling him that, were you?
Yeah, I was talking to him about all that stuff. And then I was just kind of going, that's pink in the middle. Like, you're going to die. And he's eating it. And I'm like, hold on, there's an episode the following week. He didn't die.
He made it. He pulled through.
You know? And that kind of stuff. And it's kind of like when you see your uncle at a barbecue and he's like, or he's flipping burgers that are on fire, and then he hands it to you and you bite into it and you're like, oh, this is a bit... And you still survive yourself, you know?
The first time I went to America, I ordered a burger and I was asked how I wanted it done.
Yeah.
And I was like, I answered, and I wasn't being smart in any way. I just went, oh, in a bun, you know, a bit of cheese, some onion. And he was like, no, how do you want it cooked? And she explained, I was like, oh, like steak. So I was like, well, I like my steak medium rare. So I don't know, I went medium rare, but it was the first time I was in shock. I was like, I never heard of that before.
Yeah. I was the exact same in Bunsen. I don't know if you've ever been to Bunsen.
Oh, I've been to Bunsen. Yeah. Have you been to Bunsen? I don't think you have. Have you?
I don't know what that is.
It's a burger place in town. No, myself and Nicola, my wife, have been, but I don't think Ella has.
Yeah, there's actually a new Bunsen opening up in Blanche now. So there's a little exclusive takeaway, man, exclusive. But yeah, so with Bunsen, I was the exact same. But the only thing is, I didn't see the pink burgers intake, so it was just kind of like, hold on a minute. And the exact same question: what way do you want it cooked? So, or she asked me actually, what way do you like your steak? And I said rare, and she went, is this your first ever rare burger? And I went, I've only ever had cooked burgers, so I'm not too sure. And that was pretty much it. They came out, bit into it, it mooed at me. I was like, oh, great crack, this is gonna be hilarious. I'm gonna die now. And happy days. But like, that is the thing, is that I think it might be a big thing for people that, like, you're selling something, the likes of like a new spicy ham to people. Are you kind of worried about, I only eat the Denny pack ham. Do you reckon that the Irish palate will be sophisticated enough for this kind of stuff?
I'm banking on, yeah. The ham by itself, if you eat it, it's very sweet. With the honey glaze, and we put a little bit of sugar in with the water while we're boiling it. We don't boil it in coke or any of that stuff, but just a little bit of brown sugar. So we make it sweet, but we go on the sweet side for a reason, because the bread is brushed with butter and toasted. The cheese is salty. The bread is obviously crispy. So it's all savory. And I don't know how many times, I don't know, like, I can't ever taste a slice of, you said, Denny ham or whatever other pack ham comes out. It never cuts through against everything else. So you need the ham to be the star of the show. So by packing it with that flavor, that actually brings it around for me to ask you a question, because I'd love to get your view on it, because we are doing a hot sauce chicken sandwich.
Okay.
The brisket, the beer braised brisket, the original recipe for that is blue cheese.
Okay.
Now, the beer braised brisket with the beer onions and the blue cheese, I'll tell you, it's a beautiful sandwich. I love it.
I don't like blue cheese, but it's an amazing.
But it works in the sandwich.
Yeah.
Now, you're saying about the palate of Ireland. I am afraid to put the blue cheese in it when it goes on retail, when they go to sell it, because it just divides an audience. You know, straight away, you're going to lose somewhere between 30-40% of people will immediately go, oh, blue cheese. No, I hate blue cheese. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we definitely have concerns. I don't have that concern over the ham and cheese, but there's certainly other elements of sandwiches that are backing away from that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because of that kind of reason, you know. What would you say? Like, would you be a blue cheese guy?
The way I kind of order food now, especially in like pop-up restaurants and taco trucks and all this kind of stuff from Sambo Ambos or whatever, is I actually ask them, I go, what do you recommend? And then they go, okay, we actually recommend the blue cheese one, and go from there. And that's kind of one hurdle against that. But another thing that you probably have to take into account is that there's so many food festivals now that have guests that are flying in. You know, the likes of the Big Grill Festival, Taste of Dublin, all that kind of stuff. They're coming in and they sell out, you know. So that's your kind of your margin.
The audience is there.
Yeah. So you're kind of going, well, if all of these kind of people that are coming in, especially kind of like renowned chefs that are cooking high-end barbecue and stuff, and then they're selling out and they're making all of this kind of things. And not only that, another thing that that's really good that's after happening now is all these breweries are after coming up, and they're kind of jumping the gun. Like, they made a milkshake beer, you know, like, so they basically went in and they said, okay, McDonald's has the green milkshake thing, and they converted it into a vanilla green beer that had like a frothy head and stuff on it, you know, like. Irish people, they definitely want to kind of go out there. And in regards to kind of say spicy food and stuff like that, I did the Just Wing It 666 chicken wing contest. I don't know.
Down in Bray at the festival.
It was down in Bray, yeah. So it was actually when Platform Pizza first opened up a good few years ago.
We went to the first year, remember? Chicken Wing Festival in Bray.
I'll find some pictures of this and I'll put it up on for YouTube or whatever. So it starts off, everyone kind of goes, all right, you into spicy food or whatever? I was like, yeah, I love spicy food, blah, 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 blah. They're like, have one wing. And it's just like, oh, this isn't spicy food. This is pure fire and pain and all this kind of stuff. But so I got 3 wings in and I had to bow out. I was like, nah, game over. Adam Richman wins.
It must be just a painful experience. That must be horrible.
When you have to wear goggles to eat food, you know, like, so I had to wear like proper goggles. I had to wear gloves. If I got the sauce in my eye, I'd go blind. All this kind of stuff. And you're kind of going like, why did I do that for? But I got a free t-shirt in the end. And that's
man, it's all worth it then.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Actually, I don't know if you remember at that. Do you remember at that festival? So you would have been on the stage doing it. Is that right?
At the time, yeah, so there was the full stage thing. I think yeah. HP were sponsoring it.
So where the stage was, where you would have been facing when you were sitting down, was where the they were smoking all the meats. Do you remember that? The big smoking?
Oh, yeah.
So that was really good friends of mine, Pat and Jim from Smoke and Soul. They're barbecue manufacturers and fabricators from New Ross and Wexford.
Amazing.
They feature on their TikTok channel anytime a barbecue, and the barbecue is out the back. But these lads make like the best. That's where I met them. I met them down there at that. They build barbecues. They run educational courses. And even if yourself, like the last year has been a bit of a roadblock for them because they've done up a whole lot of things for courses. Obviously, you know how that went. But they would have been selling food at that festival, but they are... they're absolutely top fellas. So even for yourself, if you ever need a grill, a smoker or anything like that, these are the guys to go to.
Yeah, that was the thing. I actually, I got a summertime last year, I went and I got a Weber, the bog standard Weber thing and the charcoal grill. And it was great. I incinerated loads of food. it was really good. And There's definitely a difference when it comes to smoking and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. One area that we haven't really done as much on TikTok that I would like would be barbecue and smoking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite way of cooking. My favorite way of eating as well. I love smoked meats. I love really taking the time over it. You know, low, slow cooking is really what I'm into. We try to find a way to incorporate it into the bus.
Yeah.
There's obviously a way to do anything, but the price tag that was coming with, you know, putting an indoor smoker in a bus, you know, you can imagine the health and safety officers be jumping all over you for that. So we couldn't get that one over the line. But yeah, when it comes to smokers. And the Weber's a fine bit of kit, you know, for burgers and dogs and stuff like that. You know, you can't go wrong. It's a solid bit of kit on the market, you know, for that.
Oh yeah, no, it's to be honest, it was good. And I was fairly happy because you know the way you see the ones and they're like 20 quid and you're like, all right, grand, you're wheeling it out of Argos and the wheel flies off and it's on the road and all that kind of fun.
Yeah.
Bloody nightmare. So there's actually the way this kind of podcast is, we're kind of flying out on all these different tangents and stuff like that. So, which is amazing because it's great to talk. But I just have a couple of set kind of questions here. So in regards to drinks, I was just wondering, so you're going to do like still sparkling, whatever, fizzy drinks, alcoholic drinks, non-alcoholic drinks. So that's probably a different license and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, honestly, until you just said they're alcoholic, I didn't even cross my mind. Just presumption was because there's going to be predominantly lunchtime afternoon trading with sandwiches that so it's going to be a full coffee menu. We're taking the coffee incredibly seriously. We're not advertising ourselves as a coffee spot, but what I'm hoping, Kev, this is what we've talked about is.
Yeah.
To hear about the bus, to hear about the sandwiches, to maybe see some of the TikToks, some of the promo videos on YouTube, whatever. And when they come up and they get the sandwich and they eat it, and they maybe hopefully they like it, but then they have a sip of the coffee and they're like, geez, the coffee's nice.
Yeah.
So we're being understated a little bit at the minute on our social about the coffee. But really, honestly, for the last 2 weeks, the bulk of the work I've done is on coffee. I've got tastings and been researching the price of lids and cups, and I've been in the coffee world. I thought I knew a little bit about coffee, but it's important to me. We're hopefully going to open just before the summer, so we're looking at iced coffees because they're very, very popular. Mm-hmm. The younger crowd, Ella is a big, big fan of iced coffees, and
no way.
We're looking into iced coffees too. So it's we're definitely going to take the coffee seriously. On the cold drink side, you know, you're going to have your standard well-known soft drink. My very good friend lives in California and he's been great because I wouldn't mind getting in, I don't know, some root beers and some ginger ales and stuff like that, you know, that would be considered American to sell off the truck, you know. We're grilled cheese is quite an American thing. The bus is obviously American. So kind of where possible, we can hit those little notes.
I don't know. For whatever reason, I just go automatically. When I see that kind of style bus, I just automatically go to The Simpsons. And I was kind of like, when I have these set questions, they're going to be asked for everybody. But I just automatically went into squishies, you know, like, especially if you're going to be starting off in the summer, you know, the way Barton Millhouse, and they kind of go in and they're mixing all the different types of squishies, and they, you have the Fanta thing that you can get in the cinema, you know, all the fizzy ones. But that's just one thing that just popped out for me. I was like, do you know what, with the size of the actual bus itself, I don't know how limited you'd be in to actually do something like that, you know?
We have two spaces on the inside of the bus that are currently, I won't call them open because they will, space will fill up, but the original idea we had was for sandwiches, coffees, and ice cream. We always wanted to do ice cream. We had a little look at them, but like, it's expensive for ice cream and it's going to be beyond us for what we can do now. So we're going to get open with sandwiches and coffee. But yeah, the blue and red slushy machines, Slurpees, they could be a great seller. We're kind of thinking along those lines because the audience that we have on TikTok is much younger than Instagram, and it's much younger than Facebook. And it's obviously where we have the most amount of followers.
Yeah.
And having some like the hot chocolate, for example, that was the last 2 days we were trying to work out a deal on coffee, but the particular vendor's hot chocolate wasn't what we want at all. So we had to do a deal where, you know, we're able to go off and buy our hot chocolate somewhere else, because there's going to be kids dragging their parents to this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Showing their mom and dad, because they're not on TikTok and the kids are.
Yeah.
So we have to cater for that, because that is going to be our audience. So we need to have some product there that's going to be enticing for them when they come up. Sure, mom and dad would, you know, crack into it. Chicken sandwich and a cappuccino and they're happy out, but they're just going to need something else for that. So the Slurpee machine is a super idea. I love that episode where Bart find $5 or $10 or something.
Yeah. And he mixes them all together.
Everything, and he starts hallucinating. Oh, yeah, that's
yeah. Definitely. But another thing, like when I was growing up, we had, you always have, you're not allowed to have Coke. You're not allowed to have Coke. You're not allowed to have 7-Up. Well, only 7-Up if it's flat and you're sick. But then we used to get these huge, big, giant bottles of Country Spring, and they were like orange cola flavor. But you used to be able to get American cream soda. Mm-hmm. And like, I'd cut off my arm for a bottle of American cream soda right now, because I don't even think you can get that anymore.
They were the 3-liter bottles. You need two hands to carry them around.
They had like these special holders and stuff. And then like halfway through, you're like, open it up in the back of the car and all.
Yeah. American cream soda, Country Spring was like nothing else on earth.
Oh, man. Actual crack. Like, it was amazing. I know, it's just going to go straight over your head.
Yeah, the two L fellas reminiscing about the old days. Ella has no.
Yeah.
It was really sweet, but it was a lovely drink. And we used to put vanilla ice cream into that for our frizz bombs, we called them.
Yeah, exactly. So like that's the thing. That's if I saw a truck like that, I would sprint over and be like, do you have American cream soda? Like, yeah. This is the best thing ever.
We'll start giving us if you can get a case of that, or even, not even made anymore.
Yeah, at this stage.
Deal, no deal.
The section is called Deal or No Deal. So you're talking about combos, multi-buys and stuff. So it's kind of it's a bit early days for you guys in regards to what are you going to sell and drinks and combos and things like that. Do you reckon that it's like from talking to a good few chefs or whatever, they're really specific in just selling a burger. There was no chips, there was no nothing. Are you going to be selling like crisps? You're going to get like, remember, you know, you go into O'Brien's, you get a sandwich and a handful of crisps. Is that going to be the same sort of mentality for you guys, or always working?
It's a great question. We've talked about it. We haven't got a final decision on it. And you know what? It's a weird one. It's not about so much the crisps. Is we haven't made a final decision on what the packaging, how is the sandwich going to be presented? So the packaging that we have, that we bought, that we've been doing some sandwich trials for the last couple of weeks, if we go with that, we've no room for crisps. It's not like a box. I don't want to get one of those boxes that seals, because there's moisture gets inside, the bread gets soggy.
The butter like goes out and then oozes back in, and the sandwich and everything just like absorbs.
Yeah, it changes the product completely. So it's a case of, we want to avoid that packaging scenario, and then it becomes difficult to sort of give crisps, the sprinkling crisp. To be honest, I love a few cheese and onion crisps with a sandwich, and I think it would be silly if we didn't have
like hunky dory
a box of something in the bus just to offer. Like, it's not going to take up much space, and it's just covering off the bases. Really, if someone's standing in front of the window and they say, "Can I get this?" I'd like to be able to say, "Yeah, we've got it, no problem." You know?
Yeah, that's it. Happy days.
A hot drink, coffee, and a packet of crisps on deals and stuff like that. Yeah, we'll definitely be looking after, you know, the family meal deals.
Yeah,
we'll be looking after sort of date night meals. You know, couple. You know, two sandwiches and
two drinks,
all that kind of stuff. And amazing. We're looking at maybe bringing in little sweets to sell alongside the coffee, whether it be cookies. We love a cookie, you know, the big cookies the size of your head kind of thing.
Chip cookies, yeah, I love them.
We're not going to make them ourselves, but we're talking to one or two people. Wouldn't mind getting them in as well. So chucking in a couple of cookies with a couple of hot drinks and a couple of sandwiches, you know, just be the nice right bite of an afternoon where you wouldn't need a dinner then after us, you know, you're set for the day. Yeah. I say with the size of the bread we've got, if you eat the sandwich, I reckon after half two in the day, you're skipping dinner. You might have a little nibble around 9 o'clock or something, you know, but you're not gonna
like a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, a little bowl of cereal maybe. You wouldn't be going off having the dinner anyway. It's a feed, you know. They're definitely a feed.
It's a huge sandwich, especially the bread we have. The slices are so big.
Yeah.
Wow. You just tipped on one of the biggest TikTok trends there, and you probably didn't even know you did. Is that what time are you allowed to have cereal at? And that's a huge thing now on TikTok. I don't know if you haven't seen it before.
It hasn't crossed our For You page, but in this house, anytime you want cereal. Yeah.
Cereal's just lunch or dinner.
Cereal is God tier food. I mean, you can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
Not that many people agree on is a fry for dinner.
Oh, a brinner, yeah.
Mm, yeah. I meant that.
Or beans and chicken Kiev.
Oh, we're touching on beans and chicken Kiev. One of the
mix the garlic butter into the beans and all.
The chipper chips.
Oh, it's never good. No, never good.
One thing that I do, and it was kind of growing up in a student sort of lifestyle, even though I'm only a student now compared to back then, but there was just all the bowls in the house were dirty, or they're in the dishwasher and whatever. And I got Cocoa Pops and I stuck it into a pint glass. And did that. So I had, you have your spoonful, a couple of Cocoa Pops, and then you can drink it. And then at the end, you just have a full pint glass of chocolate milk. Happy out. Do you know what? I'm actually talking about all the food that you have now. I'm just like, I'd love one of them sambos. It'd be unreal.
No, they're good. They're good. We'll have you there.
I didn't hear no bell. So this is kind of like a rocky kind of mentality thing. Okay. So it's, what food did you have? So you organized ham and cheese toasty. And we just kind of went into a bit of the next part of the question. So is a fusion or a mashup? So you're after going chicken Kievs and beans for a fusion or a mashup, which is pretty
horrendous.
Chips. It's loads of salt and vinegar.
Beans, chicken Kiev, and chipper chips. Happy out.
Ella's auntie, my sister-in-law Debbie, introduced me to putting salt and vinegar on roast potatoes. You ever tried that?
Life changing.
Never done that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't put them on. I don't put salt and vinegar on the roasters when it's beside roast chicken with a gravy and a stuffing. But as a roast potato, like, think about it. Salt and vinegar, chipper chip. You know, like, it works. Yeah. Flavor combination works. But on a really nicely done crisp roast potato, salt and vinegar. Next level. It's crazy.
I've never done it. Anytime that I've ever kind of cooked like roast potatoes or things like that, I've either done them backwards, you know, where you have to do the parboil and then put them into the oven and then they're either too crispy, or I may as well have just made mash. This is kind of pretty much the swings and roundabouts for that one. The next ones that we have are called hometown heroes. Your hometown heroes is that because you guys are after making your own food. So with the hometown heroes is, what is your favorite restaurant, takeaway, or food truck?
In where we live?
It could be anywhere. So a couple of the guests that we've had that have actually lived in a couple of different places. But even if you've if you've been to America or you've been to Florida or whatever, or LA or anything like that, California, it, has there been a food truck there where you've kind of gone, Jesus, that was very good?
I'm just thinking. So for me, in Artane, we live in Artane, there's a Pakistani restaurant called Taza.
Oh, yeah.
They are
just, the face just says it all. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're very close to where we live. And I know a couple of lads. I know Arshad, the head chef, and Faraz, the manager, and the food that comes out there it's unreal. It's a restaurant that shouldn't be, you know, in Artane, at the Artane roundabout.
It should like be in town.
It's the middle of town.
Huge
it's a
building.
Yeah, it's a unbelievable food.
Yeah.
If you haven't had it, I strongly recommend you travel to have it. It's all the classic dishes. There's tikka masala, there's korma, you know, jalfrezi, they're all there, but they're done to the absolute highest level that I've experienced in this country. Wow. And they're 50-100 yards from the front door.
And I think that is something that for me, I used to live in Smithfield in Dublin, in the city centre there. And I basically had everything on my doorstep. And it was just like within walking distance, kind of walking into town. How do you feel now, like knowing that this place is there? Is it something that you get every week, or would it be a case that it's kind of like happy birthdays or anniversaries?
It's sort of in the middle. It's not so much birthdays, but it's definitely not every week, because it's a restaurant at restaurant prices. So it's I think we're probably every two, three months, something like
every
that.
Every 2-3 months.
Yeah, something like that. Nothing too crazy. For me, I'd say the best restaurant experience I've had in this country is in Chapter One.
Oh yeah.
But I mean the whole, you know, how you're greeted at the door and seated, and how the sommelier was talking to you about the wines. It helped a bit that your man Ross, the head chef, was working that night, and at the end of the year, he always comes around and greets everyone at tables. And when the head chef comes out of the kitchen and shakes your hand and asks you what you thought of the rabbit or whatever, you know, for a foodie, you're like, it's like meeting a rock star. So for me, anyway, it was great to meet him, and he was so, so sound. And when he realized I was into food, he was really picking my brain, going, oh, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And it was in heaven, you know. Chapter One, I think, in Ireland, they're Michelin stars, so they don't even need them up, you know. They do all right, but for me, in this country, they were the best. What about you? Well, what would you say is one for you?
My favorite restaurant before they closed was Silk's.
Oh yeah, did you ever go to Silk's in
Manahoy? No, where's this
Chinese restaurant in Manahoy?
I always get the same thing, because I was afraid that if I got something else, like I do this with every restaurant, I always get the same thing because I'm afraid if I get something else and I don't like it. But never with this restaurant. You could try everything and it would be amazing.
Wow. And it's after shutting up shop now, or is it disappeared, moved, or what's the crack?
Yeah, it'll be closed. There's another restaurant in the same building in Manahoy.
Oh, that's a good restaurant.
Yeah, just some Kathmandu Kitchen, I think, went into it. It's nice.
Oh, cool.
Silk's was a big thing for us, because Ella's mom, my wife, her parents, they would have gone there for years, would have known the owner. So that was a happy birthday place. Family birthdays would have been there, christenings, you know, all that kind of crap. We would have went up there a lot. Everyone loved it. Yeah, everyone had it. Everyone, see, that was the thing, was between 8 and 10 and 12 as the family grew and stuff, and everyone could go to Silk's and have a dish that they, you know.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
There's very not many places that can, you know, do that. No. You know what I mean?
No, big time. Definitely.
That's still open. I've only been once, but it was amazing. Because I think everybody else got different dishes that you'd kind of get. Now, this isn't normally a thing that we do, but at this restaurant, it was so big, we kind of tried a bit of each. Was beef and lobster.
Oh, yeah. Love beef and lobster.
Do you remember when?
Oh, Malahide, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We went to Malahide that time.
Do you ever have the duck wings out there?
Oh, the duck wings and beef and lobster, man.
Next level. I had one. I was like, "What have I been doing eating chicken wings my whole life? These things are the future."
Yeah, duck wings and beef and lobster. There's kind of like a running segment that I've done on this. It's when Alice Cooper in Wayne's World. It's like, we're not worthy for, you know, like,
yeah.
Not worthy, man. Big time. Fly me to the moon. So the next kind of section on this is kind of tips and tricks and stuff like that that you've acquired over the years. Now, you guys with your TikToks, you actually tell everybody your tips and tricks, and you're very open about how you cook your food and things like that. So is there anyone that you kind of would like to tell anybody on the podcast?
Honestly,
you have so many at this stage.
They don't feel like any tips or tricks to me. I wouldn't begin. I'm no chef, and I wouldn't begin to stand here and go, you know what you should do? You should do this, or here's what we do.
Yeah,
honestly, I wouldn't. I could be doing it, and it could be some amazing life hack, and I couldn't even tell you. I mean, one of the TikToks we put up that got 60,000 views was scraping the potato peels off a chopping board, but turning your knife around so you don't blunt it. Like, that's my level of a hack. You know, that's or hardly any kind of kitchen hack.
To make the Big Mac better, or
yeah,
like the butter with the potato peeler, or
it shows you how TikTok works, Kev, because we've done some TikToks that took 3 days to make.
Wow.
And you have to condense it all into 59 seconds. And then one day had a McDonald's. And I'd seen a TikTok 3 days previous where if you take the top bun off, it's always dry. There's no sauce. So you take off the top bun and then you pick up the middle bun from underneath and you flip it over because that's dry as well. So you change the Big Mac from a 3 bits of bread to a 2 bits of bread and the sauce ratio changes completely. It changes the burger and it makes it nicer.
Yeah.
Because it's more sauce goes further. And then what you do with the bun is then you put a bit of ketchup or a bit of barbecue dip, whatever, and a few chips in, make a chip sandwich out of the top bun. That's mm-hmm. going to go over 1 million views in the next week.
Whoa. And we've
TikToks there that have done 3 days that are sitting there on like 3,500 views. You know, yeah. smoking some beef out of the smoker, going out in the lashings of rain to make sure it doesn't go over temperature and all that stuff. And then one throw away here, flip that Big Mac.
But that taught
me with TikTok is that TikTok is 11 seconds long. I mean, there's me trying to, you know, make a 59 second TikTok. People just aren't going to watch 59 seconds, you know. You have to get the message across sooner than that.
Or when you make like Coca-Cola chicken wings and the ginger that you put in the pan nearly
exploded.
Yeah.
We had to do a re-edit on that. There's a blooper, like all the shows, there's a fairly large blooper reel behind all the TikToks, you know.
No way. Yeah, like the one of them that I saw as well, you were putting an onion on the grate of the barbecues.
Yeah.
You guys. And what was that for? What was it, like?
The meat doesn't stick.
It doesn't stick.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick. And it gives it like extra.
It adds a little bit of flavor. If you're cooking with any kind of meat, obviously with beef, it's a smoky onions, flamed onion flavor that goes into the beef, but also the beef doesn't stick or pull apart.
Wow, do you know what? I saw it and I knew the kind of this question was going to come up and I didn't click in just to be able to actually ask you that. So do you know what? My mind is absolutely after blown there when it comes to that. So the next time when I whip out this, when I whip out the Weber grill,
yeah,
I'm going to do that. And do you know what? I'll send you guys a message and say thank you so much.
Put the onion into some olive oil, get it oily. So you want the oil and it'll flame up the coals a little on you. So don't go straight over them with your hand. You might catch a burn. So go with the oil. You
know? Oh, cool. Happy days, guys. Oh, that's amazing. Kind of the next kind of questions that we would have had would have just been stuff that we've kind of already talked about. So it would have been, what was your full order, price, delivery time, all that kind of stuff. So you guys, you're kind of at the stage where you're kind of in a bit of a limbo with the kind of the prices and stuff like that. What would be the, so your goal is to go for June of this year or August?
No, we're hoping at the moment. So as I'm talking to you today, there's still no official location. We're in deep into negotiations with two places. And hopefully I'm really anxious to kind of nail that down because, you know, I'm not overly concerned on location because if you see like Happy Out down over the wooden bridge in Clontarf, I mean, those guys can have a 20-minute queue all day long for coffee in the windiest, most horrible part of Dublin. Then location shows you it's not all about location if the product is good. However, to be able to market, to be able to push that we have somewhere, I'm hoping the finished build is done in this month in March. Wow. And then we're able to use April to do some very soft events and soft launch. And my hope would be, and it might be funny listening back to this, but my hope would be that we're able to properly, officially open on the May Bank Holiday weekend.
Wow.
So that's less than 8 weeks from now. I think that gives us enough time to tick all the boxes we need to. And that would be what I'd be, that's what I'd be hoping for anyway.
Oh, that's amazing.
We want to catch as much of the summer trade as we can. So, you know, if we're open for May, it gives us May, June, July, and August. And if it's a good summer month, with still, we're not sure restaurants, pubs and stuff be open, probably not. Maybe it could be a good summer, you know, it could be a good start for the bus.
Yeah, no, one thing that I've definitely noticed, I'm originally from Blanchardstown, moved into Smithfield, and now I'm living out in Wicklow and in Baltinglass.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm out in Baltinglass here in Wicklow. And so I've been here now kind of through however many lockdowns and stuff. I don't really want to talk about that. But when I first moved in, Wicklow has this thing where everyone on a motorbike loves to just drive around Wicklow. And all of the coffee shops or whatever, they only do coffee. So if you could just kind of find a place that where you could kind of pull in, that would be Wicklow Mountains, you know, like they're kind of the Cuilse kind of an area like that. There's a couple of viewpoints and all that kind of stuff. Like if you could just find a place there, I say you'd be between hikers. There was thousands, thousands of people, and they're walking dogs and they're doing all this kind of stuff. There was one ice cream man there, and I reckon he would have made about 100 grand or something, because it was just every Tuesday, it was like 99 for you, 99 for you, you know.
I would love nothing more than a sweet spot of that, you know. And a couple of people on TikTok have suggested Holt
is amazing. Holt
would be amazing. It would be amazing, seaside town, always busy, loads of tourists. But God, there has to be at least 400 places you can get something to eat in Holt now at this stage. You know what I mean? Like you're going into a lot of people, but you're going into a lot of competition, really, in terms of food. But you're going into, there's a lot of people vying for that tourist dollar out there. You know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Holt, I think the last time I was up there, they actually have, I think it was a food market on a Sunday. They have
there's a Mexican place in there. There's a mean burrito.
It's
nice. That's pretty good. There's tram chowder there. There's beautiful calamari. I mean, it's a solid market, that. But I'd like to see the face of the fella who owns that when I say, I'll just stick that 50-foot bus in the back wall there, mate. Another question we get asked as well is about the festivals, and are you going to drive around to Electric Picnic? You're going to go and do this, you're going to do that. But you're charged per pitch size at those things, you know? So it's a conversation that's different when it's the bus is 50 foot long, you know, those lads are going to charge you 3, 4, 5 times more than the standard setup to be there. So you're going to have to flip a lot of sandwiches out the window to kind of make that back, you know? So at the moment, we're probably going to maybe just hang back for a year in a location, try build a following, try build a bit of a customer base, if you like, and then I'll kind of see where we go from there, you know?
Oh yeah, no, it's a great idea. That is kind of one thing that I was thinking as well, is that however good having a huge, big, giant bus, that is its own advertisement in the first place. But then you're kind of going, you ever tried to parallel park and mini compared to parallel park and 50-foot bus, you know?
Yeah, it's exactly. And there's some locations that we've had to rule out because, you know, it's the bus won't fit here. It's a great location.
But St. Dan's, festival in St. Dan's on Saturdays.
That's it. The Red Stables Market. You ever heard of the Red Stables? Very again, close to us. I would love nothing more. We would be so busy down there with everyone we know. It's our community, it's our area. Yeah.
As well,
but the bus won't fit down the road and into the gate. It simply physically will not make the corner. So game over, you know.
No, and I'm just wondering now, would there be reaching out to the, that's how it works, is that you reach out to the council and they give you a list of possible areas for the size, or?
I think so. For those, they give you markets. If you want to go and do those sort of council run events. I mean, I think the trend there with the food trucks in Dublin, because I don't think they really kind of really want food truck culture like that we were talking about in the States. You know, if you've seen that movie Chef with Jon Favreau, I'm sure you have. I mean, that gives you the impression that it's hey, this looks like a good curb. Let's whack up to open the window. It's absolutely not like that in Dublin. So you're kind of, what a lot of people are doing is sort of just doing deals with private landowners, you know, whether it be, you see what Gorilla have done in I think an auntie or a granny's front garden in Malahide, you know, once you've got a private landowner to say, go ahead, you're sort of cutting it. Not that you're cutting out the council, you do need licenses and stuff, but you're avoiding that conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And that's one suggestion. I only saw it today. I was in Blanche and the Bell Pub. I don't know if you've ever seen the Bell. They actually have a huge big giant food truck thing there. I don't know if you've seen it.
What is it? Is it
It's in the car park. So it's a huge big giant food truck. They're doing burgers and chips and stuff like that. So it's kind of different to the Sambos. But might be something if you're looking for a spot, even to just do to pull up and see how you get on with traveling with the gear and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say a good thing about like busy locations like Hoth and St. Dan's is that like there's loads of, like, you'd be really busy, like you said, with Hoth. There's so many places to get food in Hoth, but when you go in and you see this huge big yellow school bus, you're gonna be like, oh, this looks interesting, like maybe I'll go over and try this. Like,
you'd sure go over for a look, wouldn't you, Kev?
I mean,
you
have to.
You want to just say, what is that? I'm going over just to...
Yeah,
and that's what we're hoping, is sort of just even half a hook. Jesus, big bus over there. There's a big yellow bus. That sure, go over and have a look. And then you're hoping they haven't gone and spent 20 quid in the chipper or whatever, you know.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And then you never know. The bus just, like, we put up a TikTok the other day and we always get asked, you know, are we going to put logos all over the bus or spray it? Because in America, when they convert these, they wrap them into different colors because a yellow school bus is like,
that's your generic
town over there.
Yeah.
But here it's not like that. I think it'd be a crime. I just blemishes in the paint were not even fixing. Like the bus is the bus as it arrived, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a logo on the bonnet, but small. And it's just for people to see. We think anyway, that people are going to want to have a look at the bus.
Yeah.
We try and give that to them, you know.
Yeah. Just the one thing that I'd say is probably be a bit too old, but I remember the Magic School Bus. That's who I'd put on if I was thinking about raps or whatever, or an iconic character. I'd stick her on the back, you know, get that thing up, because that'll definitely bring people over and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping, something like that. I mean, it just is, if the marketing and the stuff we're able to do and the branding we do on social media kind of helps, and then when whatever you see it on your phone, it looks one size. But honestly, I've brought people up to see it where it's getting built in Swords, and even I've had a couple of chefs come up and always the same reaction. They're just like, fucking hell, this puss is big. Like, it's big. It's a big beast of a yoke, you know? Yeah. And when they get inside and see the size of the kitchen and the size of the space to work in, they're like, it's bigger than some well-known restaurants. The kitchen is massive, you know?
Wow. That's amazing work, though. And you know what? It's a huge kind of goal. And like, even to get a bus like that into Ireland in the first place, like, that's amazing. You know, like, I've only ever seen one before, and that was brought over by Captain America's. And that was literally the only one.
You brought over a yellow school bus, did it?
Yeah. But it wasn't the same size as yours. It was like half size or something.
Yeah, they do smaller ones, for smaller towns, yeah.
It was half the size, yeah.
We're looking at, we're already sort of having a half an eye on bus two.
Wow.
And what we might do, we've one or two little ideas and stuff, but there is a smaller bus, and I'd be fairly sure now at this stage that if when bus two comes over, it'll be the smaller one.
So the last kind of section I have, I call it Infinity and Beyond, bit of a Buzz Lightyear thing. And it's just anything that you guys want to promote. So anyone want to give a shout out to anyone, anything that you want to promote. So you have like your TikToks, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, this is all to you guys.
Go ahead.
There's one TikTok. I remember when we started, we agreed that there was one TikTok that we were holding out for one person.
So we've started to ask some people to do intros.
Yeah.
And we've had Mattress Mick do an intro with us. We've had Dave Moore from Today FM do an intro.
We've had
Derry Fleming, Tyke Fleming's father, do an intro with us. So amazing. The intro, as you've seen on the video, is we'll give you a livery in action.
Yeah, go on, fire away.
Staying kidney boy.
Okay.
So we get towards the camera, we get in close to each other, and we go, Ella never knows when I'm going to say it. I give her a fright, so I kind of keep her on edge. Time. Today we are making See, every time she gets the every fried egg, you say it so loud.
Because I don't know when you're going to say it.
So with that style of an intro, it's easy for, you know, to stick it, you know, as some. But Ella has brought up, we're never going to make beef Wellington.
Until
who do we want?
Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, wow.
That's Gordon Ramsay is the hero in this house. I love him.
Yeah, he's my favorite chef.
We are both crazy about him. All his recipes, he's by far our favorite. And beef Wellington is his favorite dish. It's his last raw meal, his death raw meal, or whatever he called it. Yeah. And we would love to do it as a TikTok. It's a brilliant TikTok, but we're only going to do it if we can get
Gordon Ramsay
saying, today we are making, he doesn't even have to be with us. He could just do a selfie phone. So yeah, that's a great promotion. Oh, I have one. Can I say?
Yeah, yeah, fire away. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a huge U2 fan. I love U2.
Okay.
And all four members of the band have free sandwiches for life off the bus.
Yeah.
All four, free for life. All the lads and free coffees. If they ever just want to come down, wherever in the area, pop by. Free sandwiches for life. We will be getting little cards. Remember Colin Farrell was on Jimmy Kimmel talking about the Abracababra black card.
Yeah,
we're going to do it today. We are making black card and going to send it out to U2's management office. I don't know where that is. We'll find it. We'll Google it.
I'll get to, I know a couple of the guys that know them. I'll send you on some of the details.
We're going to send on a little card to say, you know, Larry, Adam, the Edge Mono. Just a massive fan of. I've seen every tour in Ireland. I've travelled abroad to see them. Anything for the band. So, seeing as the lads are all Dublin lads, like Larry Mullen's gaff where they had their first rehearsal is like three streets over from where we.
Wow, that's amazing.
We're from the same sort of area, for me, if any one of those lads was to pop up and want an old sandwich, they look like very skinny lads. They probably aren't big ham and cheese. ham and cheese fans, but. Maybe if they want a skinny cappuccino or something, whatever they want. But that's something I'm going to be.
I'm going to be doing. I have people that I wanted to write.
Some free people too. Yeah.
Niall Horan, definitely.
Cool.
I can never pronounce her name. The person who plays Luna Lovegood on Harry Potter.
Yeah. I know her.
Is from Dublin.
Yeah.
So. Dermot Kennedy, and who was the last person?
I think it was Hosier. Was it Hosier?
No, I took him off the list.
Oh, Hosier made the harsh. Taken off the list. I hope you don't know Hosier. He's a Wicklow guy. Don't tell him. Don't tell him he was on the list and off the list. He'd be devastated, like Ross's laminated list. So that's it. But for promotion wise, all we're hoping for, Kev. We think because of the audience we built up on TikTok with the food, and that people are going to be a little bit intrigued to see the bus or maybe taste the food they've been watching for the last year. Well, what we'd hope is everyone comes up, sees the bus, says hello, you know, they wanted to take selfies of the bus, photos, whatever. We'd love nothing more. And what we'd hope is that sort of, I suppose, like what every restaurant hopes for, is that they'll come back, you know, they'll see the bus and all, but they'll taste a sandwich that was like, you know, that's a really top-end sandwich, you know. That coffee that went with it was great. And if they ever had a bit of time or they want something nice for the lunch one day or we're working from home or whatever, they consider us to come back down to us. Do you know what I mean? That's what we're hoping for. That's the goal for us, 100%.
Amazing. Do you know what, guys? That's an absolutely fantastic goal. And really, really cool kind of shout outs and stuff like that as well. It's amazing. So just at the end, do you guys know your Instagram and your TikTok handles? Do you know?
Yeah.
So
we couldn't get them all the same on all the channels, which is a real bugbear of mine. So on TikTok, we are at Today We Are Making, but it's the number two. And on Twitter, we are at Today We Are Making with the number two. And then Facebook and Instagram, we are at Today We Are Making, but it's Today.
Spelled today.
Yeah, cool. Well, happy days. Yeah. So
and we're on todaywearemaking.com where we sell. .ie. Yeah. Sorry. Todaywearemaking.ie where you can buy hoodies, t-shirts, aprons, and merchandise and stuff available on the website too.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to say to you guys. Is your website is absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I don't know if whoever made it, if it was like a Wix thing or whatever, because that's where my one's made of. And I have a couple of guys that have done that, but it seriously, it flows really well as the e-commerce side of it.
My day job is I run a digital marketing agency, so I have access to top-end web designers, marketers, and all that kind of stuff, and who work for me. So, whenever I want to going to do a website for something for myself, I bring in the big guns. And I have to do it, you know.
It definitely stands to you, you know, because usually when you'd see kind of like people that are just kind of starting off and stuff, and I clicked into the website, I was like, hold on a minute here. Where's the after pulling this out of? Great work.
Look, you know yourself and everything you're doing now in your marketing and your branding, you know, you've got to be spot on. You've got to take it as serious as you have to. And this, I say this to business owners of me day to day, and they kind of look at me funny, but you know, asking someone for a Google review is as important as invoicing them. It's a part, and you've got to consider the digital side and every element of what you're doing, you know. And that's something that I personally put a lot of time into, because there's no point in making a really great sandwich and, you know, you've got to let the maximum amount of people around you know that you do and get them down. So that's the tool. No, you know yourself. Yeah. I don't need to tell you that.
No, it definitely stands to you guys, and it's going to, I can't wait for it. I'll definitely be the first person there to get all of the samples in one go, because they sound, every one of them sounds absolutely amazing. Seriously, it sounds great. And I think that's pretty much everything, guys. As you can see, my dog had half that burger, by the way, to try to keep her quiet. Nice. So
nice. It worked.
She gave me back the plate. She's giving me
is that a blue? That's a blue IKEA plate, yeah.
All right. All about the blue IKEA plates, man. Other than that's absolutely amazing. And that's thank awesome, you so man. Much.
No, thank you. This has been great. We'd love to. It's really interesting. Fun. Yeah, it's been really good.
Thanks very much to Ellen and Sue. Today we are making today we are making on all of their handles, either with a 2 or with a number 2. So thanks very much, guys, for being on the podcast, and I hope you had fun.
Thanks, Kev. Thanks for having us on. It was great fun. Really enjoyed it. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.